All right, good morning. I can always count on my three fellows to be here. Welcome to Brah Ministries, a Christian church. Let's shift our minds away from the issues of life and focus on the message from God the Holy Spirit. We come to Bible study for renewing, to allow God the Holy Spirit to guide us by the truth and the Word of God, so we can know the plan of God the Father, the compassion of His Son, and the amazing sacrifice of the uniquely born one, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have freedom to choose where our soul is focused. Each day we make hundreds of decisions, whether good or bad, but the best decision we can make is to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ. Learning about our Lord allows us to live the Zoe, the Christian way of life. So where is your soul tuned? I'm asking you this now, but we need to ask ourselves this all the time. Our souls are being flooded with lies and distractions from smartphones, video games, and tablets. If we don't get a dose of truth each day, our souls will be swallowed in fear, worry, and anxiety. Romans 12:2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is good, what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come." So if you're a believer in Christ, then you've activated the gift of faith, and want to learn about God the Father's plan for your life. If you're an unbeliever who is in here, you've found gold in Brah Ministries. You will hear truth from the Word of God and not opinions. The Lord Jesus Christ died for whosoever. There's a popular verse that both believers and unbelievers will probably know, John 3:16. You'll see it caught on camera at pretty much every professional sporting event. Anyway, I know most Christians are over this verse, but I'm going to read verse 17 as well, because it shows a loving God rather than a judgmental God. Our God creates unity between the two groups. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through Him." Why is that second verse always forgotten? God came to save all, not to judge all. It's a big difference. So as we hear the opening song, focus on the new self and our direct access to divine power in Christ. Be occupied with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and enjoy the singing of His praises.
I've got hope when things look bad, and I can smile when I should be sad. I've got friends who lift me up when I'm feeling low. They watch over me wherever I said, so high, but not so far away. I've got friends in your places, and I'm gonna be with them someday.
Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Thank you for the best military and law enforcement in the world that allow us to meet in complete peace and tranquility. Thank you for providing whosoever the victory through faith. Thank you for always answering our prayers in one way or another. I pray that you help our unbelief when we doubt your ability to deliver us. And I pray that you help us to put our faith in you and ultimately in others. We ask this through the power of the God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. So welcome. I'm Deacon Denny Goodall, and we are pursuing truth from the Word of God found in the Bible. You're listening to lesson, 60? Is this going to be? Not sure, we'll have to revise that. Welcome to a ministry designed for people who want to develop a deep, intimate, and personal relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So this lesson really makes it obvious that our Lord saved the best for last. I have the honor of delivering the last lesson of 2013, and I'm really excited to see where our ministries will be a year from now. Welcome to a place where you can let your guard down because the Lord Jesus Christ is God. The Bible is His infallible word and His exact thinking, a book with no errors, with no contradictions, with no lies. The Bible is the truth. Welcome to the place where you can receive the Word of God. There is no better guide for our lives. The Bible says that the truth will set you free, as Jesus Himself says in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Oops. It's not supposed to be there. We'll skip back to it. Am I missing those verses? Oh well, I'll just read them to you. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. If we continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I want to begin by thanking Pastor Rory and echoing Deacon Caleb. Doing these lessons has shown me how committed Rory has to be. I mean, I've done a couple single lessons and they wipe me out. It takes all I've got to come up with this much to say. It takes me multiple days to write it out, but it takes me weeks of thinking and researching to come up with something of impact to say. It's like being a UFC fighter. They don't just train for a fight overnight. It takes weeks and months of maximum effort and nonstop hard work. Then it's all over in an instant. Well, Pastor Rory has made it look easy. He has outlined a 21-part study of the creator-creature conflict. This conflict is raging as you sit there. I think it's all too easy to forget that the enemy of God is continually trying to create conflict in our lives. He knows our Heavenly Father has eternal plans for a relationship with each one of us. So week after week, Pastor continues a thorough study of the Word of God. He has an amazing ability to boil it down to the simple elements by asking very direct and challenging questions. Our gracious pastor has worked diligently to strengthen our relationship with God, so Satan has to be at his best in order to affect us. Well, thank you, Pastor, for showing your commitment to this ministry by pushing our study forward, but more importantly, pushing and not just following in the footsteps of others. Thank you for taking the road less traveled. It takes a real man to have the courage to admit he is mistaken. And this is where the slide should come in. This reminds me of a saying I saw the other day. Superman's not brave. You can't be brave if you're indestructible. It's everyday people like you and me that are brave, knowing we could easily be defeated, but we still continue forward. Thank you for showing us that it's not about continually focusing on our sins. We now know that the focus needs to be on the perfect righteousness that continually indwells us. Our ministry has been set free this year. We have gone from knowledge-seeking academics watching the Zoe life to Christians living the Zoe life. I think for far too long I was worried about preparing myself for the future. I was trying to soak up as much doctrine as possible and stockpile truth for a rainy day. I can't be the only one. I feel like we've broadened our message this year. In the past, the focus seemed to be solely on the believer. Our previous academic pursuit had to be somewhat discouraging to visitors. Well, I want to continue our broadened focus and talk about what I feel to be a key step in our relationships: faith. Faith is in general the persuasion of the mind that a certain statement is true. It's a primary idea is trust. A thing is true and therefore worthy of trust. Or said a better way by a famous pastor: faith is a mental power given to each at physical birth as a gift from a gracious God, which through freedom of choice allows you to place your absolute confidence in a person, place, or a thing. Faith is an active power which, placed in God, offers an uncompromising inner assurance that things not seen will occur, and that things which seem impossible can be accomplished. In order to have a relationship with Christ, we have to have faith alone in Christ alone. Well, I think that faith allows all relationships to start and to continue. Faith. Using faith is the most valuable thing we have in life. Faith makes us different from the world. People of faith are encouraging to believers. God supports us through believers, but when believers are around unbelievers, there are no positive reminders of God's plans. Faith is about stepping out of your comfort zone. People of faith put their butts on the line as much as they can. If not now, when? Faith is the core of Christianity. Faith is like the big bang of our soul. Instantly a million things happen all at once. Faith is victory. I want to give you some food for thought about faith. You see, I agree with Deacon Elliott that love is a key part in our relationship with God, and it needs to be revealed to the lost and dying world. But I think that since faith is the first step in our spiritual life, it needs more credit. After our study of faith, some things really connected in my soul. You see, faith filled in the blanks after rebound was shown to be false. I realized that rebound killed faith. Hi, I'm Denny, and I used to rebound. You're supposed to say hi, Denny. One thing I always wondered about rebound: how are you supposed to know when we sin every time? So for me, I would just rebound to be sure. But that's not the Word of God. The truth is clear. Rebound is not. I feel like because of rebound, we let faith become a one-time event rather than the glue that holds it all together. It's like you could be breaking a law and not even know it. Who knows every law in the books? So you might be out of fellowship and not even know to rebound. So I'm mad at rebound. Rebound outshadowed the importance of faith. Rebound looks back at self. The focus is off where it should be. We focus on mistakes rather than the victory we have through faith alone in Christ alone. We focus on the problem and not the solution through faith in who and what the Bible says God is. I always felt bad for Pastor and my mom and my grandma for getting stuck in a religion. They, like so many others, spent so much time worried about legalistic rule following, so much wasted time, so many moments where you mentally turn inward, focusing on the condition of self, rather than standing firm in your faith of who and what resides within you. We see in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us?" There are so many verses that back that up. There are so many more verses to build confidence in your dependence on God, which is built on faith. Well, I got stuck too. Now I have the same feeling they had. So we've all been fooled. I grew up with Colonel Thieme, so my life has been ruled by rebound. Pastor has said he used to overlook God the Father. Well, I did the same thing with faith because of rebound. I had faith alone in Christ alone at a very young age, and it never seemed to come up again. During those trying moments of life, I would focus on my sins and rely on rebound. I would focus on the 10 problem-solving devices. Again, it was about what I was doing for myself and not about what God had already done for me. I saw the 10 problem-solving devices as my rock instead of God. I used to always jump to rebound in the rough patches instead of faith in my knowledge of God. I mean, think about how much we know the Bible says about our God. We have faith that the Word of God is absolute truth. Well, we extended faith to Thieme for many years. That faith was really in God to provide truth. Well, we need to extend that same faith to our current pastor. Just like when we reject authority on our lives, we are rejecting the authority of God. It's the same when we lack faith in a pastor. We are lacking faith in God to provide for us. Well, enough of me ranting. Let's see if faith or rebound is what carry people through life. But before we jump into that, let's take a 5-minute break, and we'll see some examples after that. So let's hear our break song.
Only know the power that
Welcome back. Let's switch the slides here for a second. All right. Welcome back. Let's look at faith and how it's part of our entire Zoe life. We used Rebound religiously to activate our spiritual life before, while forgetting that it's faith that begins a relationship and gives us strength during those hard times. I want to use some stories of real people that show that faith is a critical to start and to live the Zoe life. So let's begin with our good friend Tony LaGrasso. For those of you that don't know Tony's story, he was diagnosed with multiple myeloma, a rare cancer of the blood plasma that resides in the bone marrow, for which there are treatments, but really no known absolute cure. Well, I'm happy to say Tony is a cancer survivor who had his faith challenged at every phase of his recovery, yet he stood strong with God and his family using faith. When I look at the situation, I wonder what part did Rebound play in his recovery? Did he spend time worrying about his sins? Did he feel stronger after rebounding for something he may have done wrong? I highly doubt that Rebound got him through those dark days of doubt and unbelief. It's just like the book of Job. Turn in your Bibles to Job chapter 8, or chapter 1, verse 8. Job chapter 1, verse 8. We pick up during a conversation between the Lord Jesus Christ and Satan, where Jesus uses Job as an example of a strong believer. But Satan accuses Job of only having faith because God was always protecting him. Job chapter 1, verse 8. The Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil." Then Satan answered the Lord, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has. He will surely curse you to your face." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand on him." So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. Well, I think we all know what happens from there. Job is eventually beset with horrendous disasters that take away all he has, including his family, his health, and his property. I'm pretty sure Job didn't rebound to fortify his faith in God. He didn't need to call on the 10 problem-solving devices in order to get through those trying times. Job had an absolute faith in the character of God, and he knew that God always has a plan. Job did not question that plan, and knew that he could still come, good could still come from disaster. As we see in Romans 8:28. "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good, for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." So another story of another real person is Daniel. Let's take a look at the story of Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel was found to be worshiping a god other than the king Darius, and this was punishable by being put in the lion's den for a 30-day period. So maybe turn in your Bibles now to Daniel chapter 6, verse 16. "Then the king gave orders, and Daniel was brought in and cast into the lion's den. The king spoke and said to Daniel, 'Your God, whom you constantly serve, will himself deliver you.'" Daniel was to be cast into the lion's den. He was basically being thrown into a fiery furnace. This is an amazing story of faith from start to finish. You see, Daniel knew the law he had been put in, that the law had been put into effect, yet in his faith he continued to worship God and not the king. He had to know that openly praying to God 3 times a day would get him caught. He had to be aware that there were devout enemies to our Lord, yet he stood firm in his faith. Now, as I said earlier, by breaking the law, Daniel was to be sentenced to 30 days in the lion's den. Now, you know a lion is going to eat in those 30 days. They're going to get pretty hungry. So he was pretty much doomed to death by getting eaten alive. I don't know about you, but just the thought of being eaten alive would make me second-guess worshiping every day. or worshiping openly for that matter. The interesting part for me is the fact that Daniel was placed with the lions, the king of the jungle. I find it very symbolic that he had faith in the King of Kings, our Lord, and he was with the king of the jungle. And then you add, if you noticed, even the King Darius was on Daniel's side. He proclaimed that God himself would save Daniel. So in a sense, Daniel had three kings all looking out for him. We can see in Daniel chapter 6, verse 23, "Then the king was very pleased and gave orders for Daniel to be taken out of the den. So Daniel was taken up of the den, and no injury whatsoever was found on him, because he had trusted in his God." What did that last part say? Because he trusted in God. In other words, he had faith that our gracious God would deliver him in his time of need. No mention of rebound here. The next example is more personal because it's me. My wife and I have been trying to have a child for about 2 years now. We've gone through the standard testing to see if everything is working correct, and I can say with great joy that both parts are working in good working order. Yet she is still not pregnant. We have found our faith to be of great comfort and have tried to stay patient. But after a while, one starts to wonder if there is more I can do. So we tried fertility treatments and the IUIs 4 times with tremendous cost and no result. So do rebound and the 10 problem-solving devices help us get through the discouraging news of not pregnant each time? Does rebound help us focus on what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us? Does rebound help us remember that we only have to ask in prayer and have faith? No, and no, and no. But Jesus does say believing, having faith, makes all things possible. Jesus said to him, "If you believe, all things are possible to him that believes." What then, if some did not believe, lacked faith, their unbelief will not nullify the faithfulness of God, will it? Well, will it? No, it won't. God is faithful even when we aren't. But with the doctrine of rebound, we would answer yes, because we thought we were out of fellowship when we weren't. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3, "But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one." I find a lot of comfort in that one little verse. God is faithful and will reinforce and shield us from our enemies. Let your faith be bigger than your fears. Worry is a waste of energy. It can't change the past, it can't control the future, and only makes today miserable. Be a warrior, not a worrier. Faith is a knowledge in the heart beyond the reach of proof. Faith is active. Faith is an effortless victory in Christ. That is real power. So what is standing between myself and experiencing the victory of Jesus? Me and my unbelief. Faith is the victory. Thus, unbelief is the defeat. God must get me to where I believe and rest in Jesus. Well, this is easy to say. It is the truth. But what I'm talking about here is not a matter of merely believing in the fact of victory. I'm talking about living in it. I'm really talking about Jesus Christ having victory over me, over my unbelief. Now, none of this will make sense if we don't understand the meaning of faith and unbelief. What we often think of faith and unbelief in relationship to believing facts or in relation to giving assent to certain precepts. But there are more. They speak of a relatedness to God. We might even say that faith and unbelief are evidence of our harmony or fellowship with God. If I have faith, I'm in harmony with God on a matter. I do believe and trust Him, but more than that, I am, in my inward parts, in harmony with Him. If I am in unbelief, there is a lack of harmony. Of course, there are phases of these things and dimensions of understanding, but in the end, if I am walking in faith, which is in His victory, I am at least in my heart in harmony with the Lord. I want His will. In short, faith is submission to God, voluntary submission in love and truth. You cannot say you trust the Lord and then refuse to submit to Him. Faith doesn't just believe God's will. Faith wants God's will. Indeed, faith is God's will. It is a matter of becoming God's will at all points in your life. If I have faith, I am swallowed up in Christ, and I am one with Him and His will. I have no personal agenda. When someone asks you about God, are you like a waitress when asked about a dish that just says it's good? Really? How so? Is it salty, sweet, not mushy? What? When you get the chance to talk about God, don't just say God is good. Give some detail. Say you know God is omnipresent, unlike Santa. He sees you when you're watching those soap operas, Van. Let your faith be bigger than your fears. In other words, let your trust in God give your confident hope that allows you to love. I don't get feedback like Pastor does, so I don't know the issues that you're all facing. But I do know that each one of you is going through serious pressure in one or more parts of your life. Well, just binge. Binge on God. Because you know your God. You know your God, and you can have faith and trust that He will sustain you no matter what the cosmos can hurl at you. Focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and let Him be the light in your dark days. And I'm happy to give the news that Emily is pregnant. 12 weeks. And it was through faith, not rebound, that that happened. It was through us giving it to God at a certain point. We stopped trying with the doctors and just went back to natural just life. And that was because of our faith and prayer and faith in God to let Him do it. You know, it's something we can't do for ourselves, just like salvation. He did it for us. So our closing song is Voice of Truth.
Climb out of this boat and then under the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown, where Jesus is and He's holding out His hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. Waves they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win, you never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Just a sling and a stone, surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win, you never win. But the voice of truth voices, do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Christ Jesus. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Therefore, the Lord longs to be gracious to you. And therefore He waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are those who wait for Him. Knowing that He has raised the Lord Jesus Christ will also raise... Let me start that over. Knowing that He who raised the Lord Jesus Christ will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Let us close in prayer. Thank you for patiently waiting on high to give us salvation when we have faith. Thank you for continually delivering us when we stand firm in our faith. Help us to remember faith is not just a one-time event. I pray that you help us have better relationship by extending our trust to others. I pray that you show us how a much simpler life can be when we trust God and those that are closest to us. And we pray that you continue to shape the message from the pulpit, from this pulpit, that are an accurate reflection of your person, your thinking, your work, your reputation, and your essence. We ask this through the power of the God, the Holy Spirit, and in Christ's name. Amen. And I had one last quote from Dr. Martin Luther King. Faith is taking the first step, even when you don't see the whole staircase. So remember that when you face challenges in your life. So thanks for coming, thanks for watching, thanks for listening, and thanks for trusting.